the story of the transfiguration of Jesus on Mount Tabor. It's one of the most fascinating stories that we read. It almost feels like, it almost sounds like a story of the post-resurrection experience of the disciples. When the disciples would come into contact with Jesus, as happened repeatedly following his resurrection, they would come into contact with Jesus and they would be startled by what they would see, and there would be miraculous events surrounding it. Here we have a story, though, that takes place before his death on the cross and before his resurrection, an event in which we get to see, we get to glimpse, we get to see with eyes of faith and hearts of faith that this Jesus of Nazareth, is not just Jesus of Nazareth. He is God incarnate in human flesh. Peter, James, and John get to see it. They get to see it, and they don't understand what they're seeing, just as we don't understand what we're seeing. They see Jesus standing there before them. They're half asleep. They see it. They think they're dreaming. I don't know. They think they see Moses and Elijah on either side. How they know it's Moses and Elijah, I don't know. There are no signs that say Moses and Elijah. And they don't know. They have photographs of Moses and Elijah. How do they know it's Moses and Elijah? I don't know. But they know. And they don't want them to go away. And so Peter says, let us make booths, tents for you and tents for them. And maybe they'll stay. And God interrupts them. This is my son, the chosen one. Listen to him. By implication, don't listen to Moses. By implication, don't listen to Elijah. Listen to him. And certainly, Peter, hush your mouth. Stop speaking. Because when you speak, Peter, you tend to take your left foot and stick it into your mouth all the way into the ankles. And you got some big feet there, friend. So hush, shh, but shh, but let's make shh. It's kind of what we have here. God intercepting Peter, shh. In the amazing presence of Jesus, standing there before them, fluorescing like one of these stained glass windows, with light from inside shining forth, the love of God from him. Peter is in a hurry to yak. God's amazing grace, God's amazing spirit, God's amazing power, God's amazing love was fluorescing through Jesus there on the mountain, was shining forth through him to the disciples, was shining forth through him to us. God transfigured Jesus before Peter, James, and John. And God promises to transfigure us too. To change us too. To make us like a stained glass window, shining forth with the love of God for a broken and hurting world that needs to hear the good news that God loves them. That Christ Jesus died for them. And that all that any of us have to do is say yes to the offered gift of relationship with Jesus Christ. That all of us have to do, the only thing that we have to do, that every one of us must do, is say yes. I want this relationship, God. I want to live in a relationship with you. You've offered yourself to me. I say yes. And when we do that, over time, as God's love settles down within us, over time, as God's grace settles into our living, over time, we too become like one of these stained glass windows. Our lives become tell a story. Our lives begin to tell the story of Jesus and his love. How can God's amazing grace so transfigure us individually, as a family, as a congregation, as a district, as a conference, as a denomination, as a way of being Christian? How can God's amazing grace so transfigure us that the light of Christ's love shining through us might be seen and experienced by those around us and tangible, meaningful, life-transforming ways. Can Jesus transfigure us from hopelessness and brokenness into hopeful wholeness and newness of life? Is it possible that Jesus can do this? Your answer is yes. Let's try that again. Is it possible that Jesus can do this?
Yes!
Wow! Really?
Yes.
Do you believe, thank you, do you believe that God can transfigure you individually to shine forth the light of God's love to a broken and hurting world?
Yes.
I don't believe you. There are times when I don't believe it about myself. I've gotten a ticket too, Ben. And I wanted that cop to not give me that ticket.
Me too.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
But I got it. And I deserved it. Boy, I deserved it.
No amen here.
No amen there, I know. And yet, even though I failed, and even though I do fail again and again and again to be the light that God has for me to be in this broken and hurting world, to be like these stained glass windows, shining forth the light of God's love, shining forth the story of the gospel of Jesus Christ to a broken and hurting world. Even though I fail, I'm a cracked stained glass window, at best shattered usually. God's grace doesn't give up on me. And God's grace is not giving up on the people called United Methodists.
Amen.
Can Jesus so transfigure us that we can be a light to the nation and the glory of God's people Israel? Can God's grace so transfigure us that when people look at us, they see the love of God? You fell asleep again. Yes. My brothers and sisters, I believe it. Sometimes I question it about myself. Sometimes I wonder if I can do it. And I know that my own abilities I can't. By my own strength I can't. By my own will I can't. But by Christ's will, by Christ's strength, by Christ's abilities, by Christ's grace within me, I can. And so can you. We can be transfigured by the power, the amazing grace of Jesus to be like these stained glass windows, a living reminder of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what the sacrament is about. We can't do it on our own. We can't be Christ-like on our own. We are sinners, all of us, without question. Every single person who voted at General Conference is a sinner in need of not God's grace. We are all fallen and in need of God's grace and God's love and God's transforming presence. And when we come to the means of grace, like the sacrament of Holy Communion, we receive the nourishing sustenance that we need to live by faith and to become transfigured by the grace of God for all the world to see. When we partake of the means of grace, when we read Scripture, when we pray, when we serve, when we give, when we partake of Holy Communion, God's grace can and does transform us. The entire message of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that God can change us, God can transform us, God can transfigure us, and God does change, transform, and transfigure us. All we have to do, as I already said, is respond with faith and be willing to follow Jesus wherever God may lead us. in ministry with whomever God calls us, in ministry to all whom God sends us. Sometimes what this looks like may not be what we expect. It certainly didn't to the disciples. It wasn't what they expected when they started following Jesus. Did they get what they expected? They expected a Messiah who would be victorious in life, who would defeat the Roman occupation forces, who would defeat the temple priests and the Pharisees that were perverting the synagogues and set up right worship and set up the kingdom of David and be victorious in that world then and there. That was the job of the Messiah. That's what they were expecting. That's not what they got. What did they get? A Messiah, anointed one, who came, who taught about the love of God, who healed the sick and raised the dead, and who was arrested and tried and convicted and murdered by that very occupying force of the Roman armies. Murdered on a cross, crucified for the world to see. Dying the death of a criminal, an insurrectionist against the Roman occupation. Dying a criminal. A criminal's death. That's not what they expected. And they got the resurrection, the new life in Christ, the new life that we all have to live, a new life that transfigures us. They also got what they didn't expect, and that death and that resurrection would change them, and has gone on to change Christians for 2,000 years. Sometimes God surprises us. Usually God surprises us. Amen. Jesus chose a bunch of disciples that we wouldn't choose. Peter, James, and John were stinky fishermen. I love to go fishing, but boy, I don't like to smell myself when I'm done.
Amen.
Thank you. Yucky, yucky. Levi, Matthew, was a tax collector. Especially getting close to April 15th, I don't like him. Then you got Thomas, a doubter, who consistently in the stories is saying, well, let us go with him because we could get killed too. I won't believe it until I see the holes in his hands and his side and put my finger into them. I ain't going to believe it, he said. He must have been from Missouri, the show me state, because he was the show me apostle. A bunch of stinking, smelly, uneducated fishermen and sellouts to the Roman occupation and doubters. And followed by people who were wine bibbers, people who love to drink wine and eat a lot, and sinners, and former prostitutes, and people who have been possessed by demons. In fact, that's the first witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus Christ right there. Women who would have been the last that the church should have chosen to witness the resurrection, God chose to witness the resurrection. My friends, and God chooses us. We certainly don't deserve it. We certainly can't merit it. But God's love is so amazing and overwhelming that God chooses even us. Who are we to say whom God cannot or will not choose? We're simply called to obey, to hear the calling and respond to the calling that Jesus has for each of us. And be transfigured by the light, the radiant glory of God that transfigured Jesus there on the mountain. That light, that radiant glory of God can transfigure us so that others can look at us and see and know and experience the love of God for them. That's something this world needs. the love of God. The world cries out for it. And too many Christians hide it. Yeah, it's mine. Kind of like Shmuel in The Lord of the Rings. My precious. I don't want to give it up. No, friends. The love of God is for all. Proclaimed for all. When Jesus came to live amongst us. Lived and taught amongst us, healed us, transformed us, delivered us, and then died and was raised for us. For us all. We're called to proclaim the good news of God's love for, to, and with all. Without exception. And when we do that, when we are willing to do that, when we're willing to respond to the call of God, to share God's love with all, then we will be transfigured into the likeness of Christ that the world may see and know God's love through us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and may God's people say, Amen. Amen. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin, and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Let us pray. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you. Forgive all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Let us continue with the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and a joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. And blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come and you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, you promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, the Lord Jesus took bread. And he gave thanks to you, and he broke the bread, and he gave it to his disciples, and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, We offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of the faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. As our Savior Christ has taught us, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If those who are assisting would come forward at this time. The disciples knew the Lord Jesus in the breaking of the bread. And we know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ when we partake of the bread and the cup. In your prayer.